going to say I will move on from Galatians 2:21, but you cannot ever move on from Galatians 2:21.
That's right.
And this was going to be the start of a message of several series, but I don't think I'll do that. I started looking after Mike preached Saturday, or that last Saturday before. I thought about a lot of the allegories. I picked up that book. Penny had been reading it from Henry Mahan about, what is it, seeing the Old Testament, New Testament eyes, something along that line. I started seeing, looking at a lot of the allegories, and I think I'm going to preach on several of them in the next few weeks, maybe. But anyway, Galatians chapter 3. Let me read just the first 9 verses. And it starts out with some difficult language. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing, but he's writing to people who profess the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And yet he says, O foolish Galatians. We don't like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't. Yeah. You're right.
We don't like that, do we? Now, it's easy when we sit in a group to hear someone say, O foolish group. Because we can usually say, well, it doesn't really quite apply to me.
Yeah.
It's easier to do that. And of course, Paul was here writing to a group. But this thing is always individual, because as Joe talked about salvation, our accountability lies with ourselves, not with anyone else. I stand before God accountable in and of myself. But nevertheless, we read, O foolish Galatians. The reason was it was more than one or two, evidently, at Galatia. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? And notice those words. Most people think about being hoodwinked has to do with somehow turning to immorality. That may well be true, but that's not the case or the point here. These people hadn't turned to immorality, they had turned to morality.
Exactly.
As their standard before God. Mm-hmm. The problem was they had, in doing this, not obeyed the truth.
Exactly.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. Now, think about this. Jesus Christ died in Jerusalem. These people are in Galatia,
yeah,
which is, I think most people say, we're now up toward Germany and up in that way. Quite a ways from Jerusalem, yet Paul says, Christ was crucified among you. Just notice that. This only would I learn of you. Now, let me just move on. This only would I learn of you. In other words, answer me one question.
Yeah.
That's basically what he's saying. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Then he makes a statement in line with this question.
Yeah.
Are ye so foolish? And put that the right way.
Yeah.
Are ye so foolish? He is interrogating them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see that? Most people think preaching the truth is just get up and bless people, make them feel good.
Yeah.
But if you're in the wrong way, we don't need to be feeling good, we need to be feeling bad about ourselves. Especially if we're not obeying the truth.
Yeah.
Are ye so foolish? Is it real? Is that what he's saying? Are you foolish? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Having suffered so many things in vain, and then this is a phrase of hope, if it yet be in vain.
Yeah.
Because Paul doesn't know for sure.
Yeah.
Paul is not God. Mm-hmm. He does not know. You know, we read this book and we say, well, Paul, we know he was saved. Peter, we know he was saved, right? And some of these Galatians, we know they were saved. And
yeah,
a lot of the people at Jerusalem, we know they were saved. That's easy in hindsight, because we see these things revealed in the Scripture.
Exactly.
But the point is this. We never know for sure apart from those things or ways God has ordained.
Exactly.
I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Having suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain. That is, here's the question. Is it in vain or not? Mm-hmm. That's the question.
Yeah.
He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Mm-hmm. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, now this is Paul's conclusion about the truth, but not necessarily about the Galatians, because he goes on to say, I stand in doubt of you. Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
I stand in doubt of you. So then, he says here, in conclusion to the truth, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now in this text, in these nine verses, we see pertinent features of several pertinent accompaniments of the gospel. And let me try to explain that. The gospel. Now, let me back up. There are many things in the scripture that are good news. Many things are good news, but that does not mean they are the good news. There are things that are good news that accompany the good news.
Yes, sir.
Let me put it that way. The reason I say that is this. The good news concerning Jesus Christ, the gospel, as men are prone to call it, is about a finished work.
Yes, sir.
Now, there was a time, and we see that in verse 8, when the gospel was not yet a finished work, but it was a prophesied work that would be finished.
Amen.
Saying, that is, God said, and the KJV confuses this a little, verse 8. If you read verse 8, you'll think, well, the scripture preached to Abraham. Because that's the way it reads in the English, doesn't it? Right? And the scripture, foreseeing that God would know, that's not what it says. They twisted this one up a little. There was no scripture when Abraham was. Scripture was not saying anything to Abraham. Scripture did not exist. God said to Abraham. And I could read you the Greek as it actually is, but actually God is there. It specifically lets you know God's the one that did the preaching to Abraham. But know this, Abraham still had heard preaching.
Yes, sir.
Now that's what I want to try to zero in on, but I want to go through a few things first. There are things that accompany the gospel. The things that accompany the gospel.
Yes, sir.
So let me just begin. First of all, there is the rebuke of defection from the truth.
Yes, sir.
Right? I mean, it is a rebuke. It's not a, oh, brothers and sisters, it's all of grace anyway, and we know everything will just come around and everything will be fine after all. That ain't necessarily so when you're dealing with individuals.
Right.
It is so. God's elect will be saved, but the question is, am I really one?
Yes, sir.
That's the question. Am I really one? And it really don't even matter concerning me. It don't matter whether you're one or not.
Yeah.
Well, Joe, as you said, I can't do nothing about that.
Exactly.
I can't even prove to you whether you're one of the elect or not. So Paul rebukes defection from the truth. And they had defected. This is not don't defect. They had defected. Now, first of all, you cannot leave where you've never been. Right.
That's right.
You cannot defect from what you never had to start with.
Exactly.
Now, that's just a simple statement, but that's just a fact. There are a lot of people wondering whether they've defected from the gospel, and I fear they've never been a part of it to start with.
Exactly. Amen.
Oh, that's scary. It ought to be.
Yeah.
It ought to bring the fear of God into every soul here this morning. Does God really know me or not?
Yeah.
it ought to be. To be that's a valid thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And it's not fear of hail that's the beginning of knowledge. It's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of knowledge.
Amen.
It's to fear him who can put your body and soul in hail.
Yeah,
not that he just will, but he can. And what's amazing is Jesus Christ said that to his particular 11 disciples.
Yeah.
Did he not? So again, I say you cannot leave where you've never been. Scripture is clear. Paul's clear. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, right?
Amen.
But is that a blank check just for anybody who says, God, save me, please save me? Is it? But yet isn't that what so-called Christian religion's doing today? It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it says, how can they call on him in whom they've not first what? No. Believed. You can't call on him for salvation until you first believe on him in salvation.
Amen.
And that's what it says. And you cannot believe on him unless you've what? Heard. And Paul is so clear that says, you ain't even going to hear it unless you hear it from another person.
That's right.
Isn't that what he says?
Yeah.
Now we may say, but God preached to Abraham. That's right, and that's God's prerogative.
Yes, sir.
But God Almighty has ordained that the greatest, the grandest of the majority, the super, super majority will be this way. God will send one sinner to another sinner, and that first sinner will tell the second sinner about how they are a sinner and how that Christ is the only answer. That's just the way it works. It's easy to point your finger at the preacher. Why? Because the preacher ain't nothing but a sinner. But let me tell you something, that's the way God's ordained it. And if you don't like it, you'll never come in. As long as you're in rebellion against God's way, you're in rebellion against God.
That's it.
Right? Yeah. Well, I love God, I just don't like that. Well, if God ordained that, then you don't love God as well. So again, I say you cannot leave where you've never been. But let me add this, there are differing defections. Defections do differ. There are different kinds of defection.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm going to use a little, you know, as Earl used to call it, artistic license here. There are spiritual snake charmers who bewitch. I use the word snake charmer there. But Paul does use the word bewitched. Oh, foolish Galatians, what does he say? Who hath bewitched you? Did God do it? No. Did God lead them to this? Well, after all things work together for good. All things do work together for good. But here's the question. Are you one of those called according to his purpose or not?
Exactly.
Because it only works together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Amen.
There are differing defections. There are spiritual snake charmers. And that's what Paul's talking about. Somebody's come along and bewitched you. They've done the sleight of hand. They've hoodooed you. They tricked you into this. That can happen. But even that kind of defection is no absolute proof that you were in the right way to start with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because Paul here is only dealing with one kind of defection. That's people who professed to know the truth and then abandoned the truth. Right? And they abandoned the truth here. Why? Because they were what? Tricked.
Yeah.
They were bewitched.
Yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
But our Lord spoke of another group of defectors. Now they are defectors and defectors from truth nonetheless.
Yeah.
But they're still a different kind of defectors. And you can find it. Basically, you'll see it. It's given by Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but you can read sometime. Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Our Lord spoke of a group of people as a type of ground. And he said they hear the gospel and immediately they receive it with joy. But in time of temptation, they are offended by what?
Yeah.
The word.
Yeah.
And they what? Defect.
Yeah.
they apostatize.
Yeah.
They fall away.
Yeah.
Here we see these people do it not because somebody tricked them, but because inwardly, our Lord put it this way, they have no root.
Amen.
You see, you can't leave where you've never been. The question is not, what do I got now? Is did I have root?
Amen. That's it.
Well, that's scary.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Because most of us are prone to say, but what am I today? If you profess this today, that you had it yesterday, and you got it yesterday, you better be sure you got it yesterday, because if you got it yesterday, what you have today is what you had yesterday.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? I know that was convoluted, but that's just the facts. You don't profess you saved yesterday and all of a sudden get saved today, but you just don't know it.
That's it.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In other words, whatever your past was when it comes to, I was saved this way, it better be God's way.
Yeah.
Or no matter what you profess today, you're not in God's way. In other words, there are people who defect because they're tricked. They're hoodwinked.
Yeah.
They're bewitched. But there are others who defect because they got no root. They become offended at the word. They don't like what they read in this book.
Exactly.
And they say enough of that.
Yeah.
That's two different classes of people. But just being in the first one doesn't guarantee that you're one of God's.
That's right.
Because defection is, after all, defection. The crux is in the details. Do you have root? And the root always comes first.
Yes.
You're not going to find that law, that rule, changed anywhere.
Right.
I don't care how much we have evolved.
Yeah. Exactly.
Do we? It starts with what? A seed. Putting down what? Roots!
That's right.
The plant is determined not by the plant. Because remember, some plants look just alike when they're young.
Yeah.
Tares and wheat.
Yeah.
What matters is the root.
Mm-hmm.
And our Lord was specific about the one group of defectors. They defect because they got no root.
That's right.
Secondly, there is hope even after defection. I mentioned that. Verse 4.
Yeah.
There is hope after defection. Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain. You see, just because a person defects doesn't mean that person is necessarily not one of God's.
That's right.
And my thought process is that as you read God's word, I've been doing this for almost 29 years now, and I still find out at times how ignorant I am of the truth, or at least how much I try to supplant my own ideas and opinions in there.
Yeah.
For instance, well then how long can this defection last?
Yeah.
Isn't that the way you usually approach it?
Yeah.
Okay, we know some people can defect.
Mm-hmm.
They have.
Oh, yeah.
We've seen it here.
Yes, sir.
We have probably had more defect than we have had stayed.
That's true.
I was trying to count it one time. And after a while, I got tired of counting the defectors.
Exactly.
It was easier to count the people who stayed here.
That's right.
Just a fact.
Yeah.
But my question was, but how long can it go on? That ain't the question. That ain't the question. It's not a matter of how long.
Yeah.
Here's the question. Now, Paul answers it. I'm not going to read it, but you turn to it if you desire. Titus chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. A man that is an heretic. That's a defector.
Yeah.
That's what a heretic is. A person who didn't know the truth to start with is not a heretic.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's it.
A heretic is a person who has professed truth. I'm a part of you all.
Mm-hmm.
But then says, no, but here's where I stand.
Yeah.
I don't stand with you all. I stand here. That's a heretic. The word for heretic is opinion. It's someone who walks according to their opinion. We all do that to some degree.
Yeah.
But God's people are focused mainly right here is where I walk by. This is what I believe. What I believe is right here in this book, Joe.
Yes, sir.
How I walk is described to me right here in this book.
Yes,
that's
sir.
What you were saying. People don't want to do that. They want to look everywhere else but to the book for everything.
Yeah.
There's hope after defection, but Paul put it this way. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, do what? He says, reject. No, he don't say leave him alone. No, wait a minute. I'm not being mean. No, it don't say leave him alone. There's a lot of people we leave alone.
Yeah.
No, it says reject.
Amen.
So how long? I don't remember if it's one day or 20 years. If he's been warned twice.
That's it.
What does it say? Reject. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Why? Look at the next verse.
Yeah.
Because you know this. You know, even though your emotions, oh, but that can't really be it. That can't really be the standard. God set it as the standard.
Yes, sir.
You hear what I said? God set it as the standard.
Yeah.
You warn a person twice about a defection, and they don't turn from that defection, at least after the second warning. Paul says, reject him, because such as that is subverted.
Yeah.
And he sins, and he is condemned of himself.
Yeah.
It don't matter whether it's one day or 1 year,
yeah,
or 20 years, right, in between the admonitions. If he's warned twice, what does it say?
Yeah.
Well, is he really saved or not? Why do we want to know that answer? You remember I've told you this before. Why? Well, how far then can I go?
That's
why we want to know the answer. How long? Because that way I can go over here and play around the pit of hell, play around the pit of the flesh for long as I want, and say, well, God, you still got to take me back. Let me tell you something. God doesn't have to take us in the first place.
Exactly.
Let alone take us back.
That's right.
And I'm just using the words of religion. But let me, that is the fact.
Yeah.
God has us or he does not.
Amen.
It is simply that simple. No, there is a guideline. There's a guideline. But, you know, and I say this not just because I'm a preacher and I've studied the Bible and I know these verses and that verses. I've seen it happen. There are some people you don't even get the chance to warn.
Yeah.
You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to admonish a man twice, that means he's got to be hanging around even after the first one.
That's right.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah.
But there are people, and we've seen it happen here, that just up and go.
Yeah.
Are they not?
Oh, yeah.
They just up and leave. You don't even have time to tell them you're wrong. Doesn't matter what you say or what you do, does it? We have an answer to that one too. You know what John said, don't you? They went out from us. Now remember, the heretic that's warned after the second time, you've got to put him out. You've got to reject him. He wants to hang around. But there's another group of people, they just leave. And what he says? They went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter whether you warn a man twice or not. Because some people will abandon the truth and you don't even have time to warn them, do you?
Exactly.
You don't have opportunity to warn them. You don't even have space to warn them.
Yeah. Well,
but the Galatians, they defected and they were brought back in. Do not presume on God.
That's it.
Do not think I can defect and God's got to take me back.
Yeah.
Because here's the facts. What are you defecting from?
Yeah.
A profession? I've heard this. I've heard this even here. Well, I was raised up in this. Really? Is that the way you enter in because you're raised up in this? Well, mommy and daddy were believers. Is that the way you enter in? No. Listen. Here's number three. Preaching Christ exceeds academic expression or geographical connection or blood relationships. That's what he says. Now look at it in verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes?
Yeah.
Think about that statement.
Yeah.
Were these people in Jerusalem when Jesus died? We have no reason to think they were.
No.
They maybe could have been. But that's not, there's no context teaching us that, was it? But what's Paul saying? If you really have heard the preaching of Christ, he has been crucified before your eyes. It's something you know as real. It's not just something you heard from somebody else. It happened to you. You seen yourself standing out there beside the cross crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" That's where you seen yourself. Now, you ain't been there. You ain't even started yet.
That's it.
I'm not sorry. It's just the way it is. And I don't mean this to be mean. I mean it because I care about your soul. If you've never seen, had Jesus Christ crucified before your eyes, you don't know Jesus Christ. It's what it is. It's the way it happens. Preaching Christ exceeds all academics, all geography, and all blood relationships. You do not come into the way of God your way. You come in God's way or you're not in at all. Fourthly, verse number 2 and verse number 5. Faith has an ear for the message. You know what it said? Faith has an ear for the message. In other words, let me read it. This only would I learn of you. Now here it is. Here's the crux. Answer this question. Now if you want to try to deceive yourself, go right ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you care about your soul?
That's it.
Do you care about your state before God? Do you care about your condition before God? Not yonder in the future. I'm talking about right now, today.
Yeah.
Do you care? Now look, this only what I learned of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. See that? Then he repeats it in verse 5, but then puts it in another way. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. What's he talking about there?
Yeah.
Couple of things. And I'll show you, not just from the Greek, but I'll show you here from the context as well. That first of all, faith, I'm jumping ahead, but faith is a realm that possesses a people as much as it is possessed by a people. You hear what I said? I don't mean that just trying to be intelligent. This is a fact of, this is truth of the truth of God. Faith is a realm possessing a people as much, or maybe even more so, than it is a people possessing it. Because in here in the Greek, the of faith, the hearing of faith, that's one Greek word. And it's the word of. It is in the possessive sense. Faith possesses something. What does it possess? It possesses people.
That's right.
Now, how do I know that? Now, look. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children. And here it's written the same way in the Greek, of Abraham. You see it? Right there's the example of it. Now, is this talking about a people possess Abraham or Abraham possesses a people?
Exactly.
Do you see it? The same are the children of Abraham. In other words, they're the offspring of Abraham. Now, granted, here it's spiritual offspring. But let me tell you something. Either faith possesses you or you don't have it.
Exactly.
No matter what kind of faith you got. You don't have this kind.
Yeah, that's it.
And having this kind is the only kind that's of any value.
Amen.
Having this kind. You see, I got to have the same exact kind of faith Abraham had, or I'm not of Abraham. And I'm not of faith.
That's it.
Faith has an ear for the message. Here it says, the hearing of faith. This is the same word we see translated, or translated hearing. But the word means more than just hearing. It means hearing a report.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
It is the, let me put it, it is a report received of faith.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's a report received of faith. Mm-hmm. Hebrews, you know this passage, 4:2 says the gospel didn't profit them. It was preached to them as well unto us. Now, even take that in Paul. Paul was talking to a people that were alive in his day.
Yeah.
But he said, those folks way back yonder in the wilderness in Sinai, the gospel was preached to them as well as it is being preached to us.
Yes, sir.
But the gospel did not profit them.
Amen.
Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
That's right. Yeah.
But let me tell you something. If you are possessed of faith, you will respond and receive the report.
Yes, yes sir. Amen.
Therein is the rub.
Yeah.
There's the crux of the matter. And it's a report about a specific thing. In thee shall all the nations be blessed.
Amen.
You see, it's when Abraham heard the gospel that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Yes, sir.
He had faith almost 15 years prior, given him by God, and was possessed of it and possessed it and obeyed God to the extent that God's providence ordained for him to obey at that time. But it was not until 15 years later that God then said, your seed, which Paul says is what?
One.
And then it says, and Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
Yeah.
What am I saying? I'm saying until you hear the gospel, and that gospel lays you in the dirt and exalts Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and you see the reality of those two things, you are not a believer.
Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
Oh, but I believe God gave me, he regenerated me years ago. What's the proof of it? It's hearing the report and receiving it. That's the proof of it.
Yeah.
Now, we know Abraham had faith 15 years prior to the event, but only because we're told so.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, that's it.
But that's something I can't look at a person and say, well, I believe that God, I believe the Spirit of God has given that person faith. I have no reason to even say that until what? They hear the gospel and they believe the gospel.
That's it.
Because it was even the God said, get up and get out, and he got up and got out. And what's that let us know? Sometimes even before God lets you hear the gospel, he's going to separate you from people that's going to keep you away from the gospel.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen.
But you will hear the gospel and you will believe the gospel or you never will be a believer.
Yeah, that's it.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You're going to hear the faith by hearing. What does that say? Faith by the report. How's what faith what? Now, I know the KJV says faith comes. But it only comes to manifestation. It doesn't come into existence.
Exactly.
But it does come into manifestation. How? By the report. And the report comes from where?
Yeah.
The Word
yeah.
of God. You will hear somebody preaching God's truth of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will believe it or else you're not possessed of faith.
Yeah.
And you can cry all day long, well, I believe God gave me life back yonder. You're a fool if you're playing that game. Because whether God did or did not is not the point. The point is, when you hear the gospel, are you receiving it?
Yes, sir.
And that word, this only what I learn of you, receive, that is in the active.
Yeah.
It's something we actually do. We receive the truth of God by the Spirit of God. It's not, oh, God saved me now. Thank God I'm saved now. Boy, I'm glad he did that. That was nice. That felt good.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sure.
That ain't the way it works.
No,
you're down here, Joe, on your knees. And even though you might say, this don't feel good, you know it is good. Because that's where I belong, a maggot in the dust. That's where it's at. And Christ exalted. And that's the message. You see, faith hearing is the impetus for action. Faith has an ear.
Yeah.
Faith has an ear. So that when the gospel is preached, every person here this morning, if you have faith, you're going to believe the gospel. And it's going to change your life. You're going to have to fight with God about this thing.
Yeah. Oh,
Jacob did he?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? He fought with God. And not fought with God, get away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what he fought?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. No. We do that all of our life in the flesh.
Exactly.
Is God, get away from me.
Yeah.
No, we fight with God and say, I will not let you go. Do you bless me?
Amen.
Now, do you think we got more power than God?
No.
No. But that's what God brings us to.
Yeah.
It's like this. I'm not going. That's the fight, Joe. Hanging on. Holding on to a leg, if that's all you got. Or a foot. And I will not let you go till you bless me. And then what's God do? He touches you. And you will walk differently the rest of your life.
Amen.
You can't help it. You now got a limp.
Yeah.
Think about it. You didn't have a limp before, though you were as corrupt as you could be.
Exactly.
But after he saves you, then bless God, you got the limp.
Yeah. Yeah.
To remind you of the battle that took place when? Yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah. He's already conquered me. He's not having to conquer me today.
No.
Huh?
Yeah.
He is just continually revealing to me every day what he did, first of all, back there at Calvary.
Yes, sir.
What he did in Christ. And he reminds me every day what he did that time, Joe. Whether it took one day for it to happen, or it took a week for it to happen, or it took a month, or whatever, when God finally bowed me down to the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ. You can believe in sovereignty all day long and still perish under the judgment of God. You can believe in election and predestination all your life and still perish under the judgment of God. God brings every one of his sheep to what? They come to Christ, said what? Me.
Amen.
They come to Christ.
Amen.
Not just doctrine.
Exactly.
Well, I've believed this. Mommy believed this. Daddy believed. I can say that now about my parents. It don't mean squat. Does it?
Yeah.
I'm glad they believe. That was one of the most encouraging things to me 29 years ago or so, was when I realized they were starting, David, to believe the same message I was seeing in this book.
Yeah.
But my salvation doesn't depend upon them. And their their salvation does not depend upon me. Now, faith's action is defined. Now look at it, verse 6. Even as. Do you see them two words? Now, you're going to believe like Abraham believed, or you're not a believer. I will believe like Abraham believed, or I'm not a believer, no matter what I believe. You see? Even as. Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
Not in a very similar way, too.
No. Sure.
Not, well, it's pretty close to, even as Abraham, what? Believed God. Did he believe in God? Yes, he did.
Sure.
Scripture says that.
Yeah.
But he did more than just believe in God.
Yeah.
He believed God.
Amen.
And when God said, what did he say? Let me find it now. In thee shall all nations be blessed. Abraham, even in the beginning, realized that's true.
Uh-huh.
Though he did not get the full force of it until he heard, in thy seed.
Mm-hmm.
Singular. Then it says. Now Galatians 12. Genesis 12 says, God told him this even in 12 verses 1, 2, and 3. And Abraham got up and got out. But it was not until 15 years later that Christ himself was mentioned. Yeah, seed,
yeah.
Singular. And it says Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness.
Amen.
Because it's not until you hear about Christ.
Exactly.
It's the whole crux.
Yeah.
It's not being monotheistic. Though certainly God's certainly Abraham was a monotheist, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, wasn't he? But that wasn't the key, was it? It's far more than being monotheistic. Believing is far more than assent to even God's existence and authority.
Yeah.
Balaam's ass knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
The scripture says, and I may get it backwards, but what did the ass knows? His owner, or what is the ox, his master's crib, something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like Mike said, even the animals were smart enough to enter the ark.
That's right.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
I don't even know if they were that smart. God brought them in. But nevertheless, you know the point.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Balaam's ass knew more than Balaam did.
Yeah. That's right.
And let me tell you something. You reject the word of God from this ass. And you can put that any way you want to. You reject the word of God being preached by this ass. You are rejecting God.
That's right.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Believing does have a common denominator in all who believe. They believe when they hear about Christ.
Yeah.
And they continually believe Christ. They may be wrong about this or that, but they believe Christ.
Yeah.
Now, you hear what I'm saying? They may mess up here or there, but they still believe Christ.
Amen.
That's the way it always is. You ever abandon Christ?
Yeah.
Go ahead. You're a goner.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I rely on God's election. No, you don't, because God's election was unto salvation. And he says, whereunto he called you, how?
Yeah.
By our gospel.
Amen.
I know there are those that say, we all really don't believe that. No, you really don't know what you're talking about. Faith is called into action by the preaching of the gospel. That's what verse 8 says.
Yeah.
Even when God had to do it himself.
Yeah.
Right? God preached the gospel unto Abraham.
Yeah.
Now, if someone comes to me tomorrow and they tell me, I heard your message from yesterday. And they say, you know what? I had a dream about that very same truth 2 weeks ago. And God Almighty brought me to Jesus Christ. You know what I'd say? I'm glad.
Yeah.
But I would be suspect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't determine the image, but I'd still be suspect.
Sure.
You know why? It's just like the thief on the cross. If we just give my heart to the Lord before I die. Well, the thief on the cross was saved the day he died.
Yes, sir.
But like Henry Mahan said, there's only one example of that in the scripture, so that no one has to despair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there is only one, so that no one will suppose on God.
Exactly. Yeah.
And let me tell you, there are very few illustrations where God himself preached the gospel to somebody. Most of the time. And as I said, the super, super, super majority, God Almighty will send one sinner to another sinner with the message of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and that's just the way it works.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way it is. The summary, until you believe by the gospel, by declaration, you have not even started the journey yet.
Yeah.
Don't worry about whether you've defected or not. Have you even started or not? Get that one down first.
Yeah.
Be concerned about that one first. Am I really even in the way? Because you can't defect from the way unless you've been in the way to start with.
Yeah.
And once you have reason, that's all. Once you have reason to believe you're in the way, then you need to be concerned about defecting. And only then.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you defect, it's the same God that it took to convert you in the first place is the same God and the same work it'll take to bring you back in the second place.
Yep.
And you know how he's still going to do it? By the gospel.
Yeah.
It's going to be it's the gospel that won your heart to start with. The gospel is going to be what keeps you going.
Yeah.
Because if you'd rather have something other than the gospel, go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give it to you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They got it for you.
Oh, yeah.
They even now have MMA. Out in the church in somewhere. I think it's California, but they get a pretty bad rap for me anyway, so I'm afraid of saying it's California. But I think it was. I was even going to say San Francisco, but I always talk about San Francisco. MMA. I mean, y'all know. Thank God. Too many of you even know what MMA is, do you? Well, thank God. Mixed martial arts?
Yeah.
I ain't kidding you.
No.
They now are having mixed martial arts in their church because even rough people need Jesus, don't you know?
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. You talk about being conformed to this world. God's message is designed to be declared one way, just like I'm doing it. Whether it's me doing it or if you doing it, somebody you work with or somebody you meet at the grocery store. It's by one sinner telling another sinner the truth of the person and work of Christ.
That's it.
That's the way it works. Yeah. If your heart's won by anything else, you are won by that something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me tell you, that's probably why most people defect.
Yeah.
Because their heart was never won by Christ to start with.
Exactly.
But there are some who've been tricked, hoodwinked, bewitched.
Yeah.
And Paul says, I'm persuaded in the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded.
Yeah.
That's what he said. In other words, you've been warned.
Yeah.
Why? Because if I have to warn you again, guess what?
Yeah.
If I have to warn you a second time and you don't see it, what am I told to do?
Yeah.
Reject you.
That's right.
That's tough. But that's God's way. Father, as we partake of this table, may it be that we do not do it thinking of ourselves. There's no goodness in us other than that which is you, other than you. In our flesh dwells no good thing. May it be, Lord, that we are truly doing it in remembrance of Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen. All right. Y'all can get those settled up, and then we'll take this table.